renew our minds. And this series that we're doing is just that. It'll help you do just that when you submit to God's word. Man, you do you know what we have here? This is God's thoughts. This is a list of people who have heard from God. This is a categorical list of everything that you need to know in life. This is it, right here. You know, this series came to me about 20 years ago. Lori and I were sitting in an office, and the guy who we were talking to says, you know, you've been really faithful to this church. And you have been, we know you're submitted to pastor's teachings, you're submitted to the church, you're accountable. I never have to chase you for reports for the nursing home ministry that we're running, the volunteers, and all that stuff. He says, you guys are accountable. He says, you're committed to your own ministry and the ministry of the church. You're consistent. You're here as soon as the windows, you know, as soon as somebody's cleaning the windows from the inside, you're here before the doors open. And he said, and you are wonderful stewards of a great ministry. And so would you take over all of the outreach ministries of the church? And we said, yes. But he was making these statements of submitted, accountable, commitment, consistency, and stewardship. And I was taking notes. And I realized that I was already doing a lot of these things, but the Lord was opening up. And you know, when God starts showing you things, it just really opens up. And even the things that you think you've been doing, that you think you know, you start to see it in a whole different way as God starts opening up these truths for you. And you start seeing ways where there was no way before. You get to start seeing abilities in yourself that you never saw before. And you, what it does is it arranges your expectations, and it sets them on the prize ahead, and forget about the mud you got to go through to get there. That's a cakewalk compared to the prize at the end of this thing. And when we talk about submission, we are talking about something that is very close to the heart of Jesus. Because despite, let me ask you, you know, and this is what theologians and theological seminaries and cemeteries and theological institutions will blackball you. They will call you a heretic for saying these things when they're obvious in the Word of God. Was Jesus' will the same as God's will when he was in the garden? No. That was a trick question, by the way. It wasn't. He said, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus, in his humanity, was cringing at the thought of the cross, the thought of the whipping post, the mocking and the parading through the, you know, the street, being crucified naked before the world. The pain and the agony, he was cringing from that. And he had to come to a point where he took his will and said, I don't care what my will is. I'm putting all that to the side. If this is your will, I'm going to do it. Because it is written of me in the scriptures that I delight to do thy will, O God. And I'm going to do it, and I'm going to delight in it. That is submission. That is the kind of heart that Jesus looks to and says, oh. Do you know the kind of rewards that you get from the power of submission, from operating? It's a law. It's a spiritual law, and it works every time. So in this teaching, I call it fruit sacks. Fruit sacks, submission, accountability, commitment, consistency, and stewardship. So the first one is submission. The second one is accountability. The third one is, what is it? Commitment. Boy, you got to be committed. You know, you got to be committed going into this thing. Were you committed going into marriage? Well, then you can be committed to anything. Consistency and stewardship. You put these five things together. These are five separate and distinct different root systems of the fruit of faithfulness. Now, they are not the same, but they are dependent on each other. They don't work. At some point, consider it like this is like rivers, tributaries that converge all in one place. And when they do, it bursts forth, blossoms forth the fruit of faithfulness in your life. Now, that fruit is already in you in seed form when you're born again. But it needs to be developed. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to come to life in your life. Because in faith, when those converge in faithfulness, God goes, he smells an aroma that he loves and he wants to be close to. And when he smells that faithfulness, in faithfulness lies your promotion in every area of your life. Your prayers will be promoted and elevated to a place where, what else do you need? Your efforts that you do will become easier. You'll be able to see things easier than you ever did before. Spiritual truths, realities, revelation, knowledge, and comes to you through simply submission, accountability, commitment, consistency, and stewardship. I'm going to tell you something. Last week we talked about submission. And I'm going to continue to talk about submission today because I haven't really gotten to the meat of it. And since submission is basically the foundation for the rest of this series, we've really got to hit it. So I have not received the release from the Lord to move on until we really deal with this. These are big subjects, by the way. Submission. This is a big, big subject. Turn with me to James chapter 4. And while you're turning, let's start off with our weekly confession. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. And so in James chapter 4 and verse 6, he says this, but he gives more grace. Everybody say more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to who? The humble. Is humility important? The reason I'm bringing out humility is you can't be humble until you're first submitted to God, to his word. They go together. So we're going to bring these out. Is pride something that God opposes? Yes. Do you want God to oppose you? Then you need to learn about pride and how to walk above it. Now, let me say this about pride, too. Pride is a huge part of the makeup of your flesh. In fact, it says in 1 John, it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It's like a three-headed monster. It's like, this is it. And you will never get to the place in your life where you can say, you know what? I have just been delivered from pride. Write it down. I've been delivered from pride. You will never get there. Because if you do, that means you've died because you no longer have a flesh. Right. You will never be free from pride. But you can resist it. You can rise above it. How do you do that? Well, it says in Galatians chapter 5, it says, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? Me, myself, and I. It doesn't care what you do. Your flesh wants what it wants when it wants it and doesn't care about the consequences. That's your flesh. And your flesh is just filled with pride. And you know what? If you walk in, you know, you get somebody gets saved. And then somebody who really can't help themselves say, yeah, I prayed them through. Really? You're going to take credit for somebody's salvation? What about the guy on the radio that he may have heard on the way to work that just opened up his thinking? What about the sponsors who sponsored that radio program? What, we are part of a body, a team that works together. And if you stand up and you take credit for stuff, what about the church? A guy gets out of his car, he sees somebody new, and he goes over and shakes his hand. Say, hi, I'm so-and-so. Is your first time here? Yeah. Well, where are you from? And he begins to connect them, and the usher comes, and the greeters, and they greet him warmly and welcome him. And the usher sees him, find out, yeah, he's from such and such a community. Well, they're from that. And he kind of hooks him up. What about all of that? What about the preacher who gave the salvation message? What about all of that? What about the Holy Spirit who opened up his heart to the truth? What about Jesus who died for him? And you're going to stand, yeah, I prayed him. You see how, and I'm not talking about the world. This is Christians who have no idea how pride operates and how it gets in and infiltrates their life and how much God opposes them in all of their efforts to walk in God. We've got to recognize what these things are. And submission to God, I'm telling you, it is a powerful, powerful tool. When Jesus submitted unto death, it says, we read it earlier, it paralyzed the devil. You want to paralyze the devil and his works in your life so that he doesn't come in and steal the word of God, kill and destroy everything that God's done in your life? Submission is the safest place you'll ever be when you submit to the word of God. You say, well, should I just submit to anything? No, we'll get to that. But you see, right there, you're starting to work on what shouldn't I submit to? You're trying to get out of it right away. You see what I mean? What shouldn't I say? Well, look, let's get the focus right. Get it on the Word of God, because the Word of God is the power source. It is the creative power of God. The Word of God, the creative Word, the healing Word, the reconciling Word, the towering Word that is up before all things and is in all things, and it is God. You, when you're submitting to the Word of God, you're submitting to God. Say, what if I'm wrong? What if you are? You think God doesn't know that? Is he your father? Can he guide you? I'm telling you something, we got a big, big, big way to go here. One thing you need to realize about pride, it is, and when you get to see this, you're going to see how ugly pride is when you realize that it is the very nature of your number one enemy and God's number one enemy. And when you see it for what it is and how really wretchedly, the devil is irredeemable. There's no redemption for him, and this is his nature. And when we adopt those thoughts, those prideful thoughts into our life and exercise those and voice those and go about airing the arrogance and so forth, God resists all of that. And you've got to understand something here, that when you act in pride, it's just the same as taking the side of the devil and walking through life on his side. That may sound kind of rough. Does that sound kind of rough? Does that sound like harsh? Well, you got to get ruthless, like Beth shared. You've got to start getting ruthless with this stuff, because this is where the rubber meets the road. And God has a tremendous victory in store for you if you just do what he says to do. And what does he say to do? Let's go over it again. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. What does verse 7 say? Therefore, submit to God. You cannot resist the devil, which is the next phrase. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can't submit. You can't resist the devil until you first submitted to God. Thank you for that thunderous silence. Is this getting in your grill? Good. Because it has to. It really has to. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from God. Is that what it says? This is another big misunderstanding in Christians. They're praying, they're leaning on God saying, God, make the devil stop that. There's not one verse in the entire New Covenant that has anything to do with God doing anything more about the devil than he's already done. He has given you his authority and his power to take care of the devil and kick him out of your life. Amen. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. You. Well, what if he doesn't flee? Okay, let's go over this real slow. Because if you're like me, it's got to be slow. Therefore. Well, what's the therefore? Therefore. Verse 6. What does verse 6 say? That's what he's referring to. But he gives grace. More grace. Wherefore he says, God resists, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, therefore, submit yourselves to God. Moses was the most meekest man. Yeah, it's like a refrigerator in here, isn't it? There is suffering in. You know, listen to this now. We talk about, I am a word of faith preacher. And those of you who have been with us anytime know that I am a word of faith preacher. Paul was a word of faith preacher. Amen. He said, what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. It's there. The creative, powerful, healing, indestructible word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, unto healing, unto deliverance, unto protection, unto preservation, and all the benefits of salvation. It is an all-inclusive word, and confession is made unto every one of those stipulations, every one of those definitions of what salvation is. And in word of faith circles, I'm sorry to say, a lot of it has gotten off track, and they think that the word suffering is some kind of a cuss word. Mm-hmm. Jesus suffered as an example for us.
Yeah. Right. That's good.
He also suffered as our substitute. Yeah. And there are things that we've got to understand something. When you resist your flesh, the wanting to do, and I got to do this, or somebody tells me to do this, and I'm not going to do it, there's some pain, and there is emotional pain, mental pain sometimes, when you don't get your own way. And there is suffering when you have to give that up, say, no, I'm going with God. I am submitting to God. See, one thing is that submission is not easy. Number one, submission is not easy. Number two is submission is not agreement. Let me say that again. Submission is not agreement. When Jesus was in the garden, what did he pray? Not my will, but your will be done. Okay? What did he say there? Not my will, but thine be done. And what happened? He started to sweat. His sweat became great drops of blood. He was under so much pressure, so much pain, agony, it says. Him being in agony, his sweat became great drops of blood. This is how much pressure he was under. This is why he understands the pressure that you're under too. And if anybody can help you, it's him. He's been through it. He knows the way out of it. He knows the way in to the power of God. And all of that led to dying. But did it end there? No! Resurrection.
Yes.
3 days later. And by the way, that was 3 days later. He wasn't crucified on Friday and rose Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning. No, he was crucified on Wednesday, according to the gospel, the four gospels, when you put them together, you can see it right there. He was crucified on a Wednesday, which was the day before the preparation, which was Holy Day on Thursday. He was crucified on Wednesday and rose sometime Saturday afternoon. I've got some stuff in the office there. I could, if you have a bone to pick with me on that, I can prove it to you. Amen. That's if you place a high premium on accuracy, which I do, because you know what? When I got saved, I said, I'm not chasing some fantasy here. I want the real thing. If I'm giving up a career to come in and do this, I need to know that what I am saying is absolutely true. I can't be fooling around with, well, I suppose so. Oh, gee, you know, come on. So, but here's the thing is, in submission, people have looked, and I'm talking about well-meaning people who really don't spend much time in the scriptures and they want to be nice to everything and everybody. They don't really, they associate meekness as weakness, right. Humility as being weak. No. The most humble people are the strongest people. The proud people, they are the weakest, and you can tell. Because once you start seeing this and submitting to God, things will open up to you when you see what pride is, and you see how it manifests in people, how it cloaks itself, how it disguises itself in other things, and really comes out in the form of pride. And you can see how God starts to oppose them. Humility exalts them. He says he will exalt the humble in another place. We'll get to that. Can you guys give me a few extra moments today?
Yes.
Good, because I'm going to take them. So submission is not easy. So here's the thing. And number two is submission is not agreement. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, you know what? I always submit to them, but in this case, I just cannot agree. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Have you said that? Well, the thing is, first of all, if they say, I always submitted, there's no submission there. They've always been in agreement with that, but in this case, they can't submit. They say they can't agree with that. So what did they just get through telling you?
They're not submitted.
Little deeper, what do they say? See, there's no, if they've already been in agreement with the person to do what they've done, they have not had the opportunity to submit yet. But when something came along that they didn't agree with, now they have the opportunity to submit. So what they're saying is, you know, I've never had the opportunity to submit before, but now I do and I'm not. That's what they're saying to you. It's like the guy who gets all boastful when somebody, you know, we read from time to time somebody falls in some area of sin, where sexual sin or financial embezzlement or something like that, and they say, how could he do that? I have never been tempted in that area. Exactly. Have you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13? Can we go there, Stephen? It talks about being tempted and the temptation that God will not allow you to be tempted above the tree. There has no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And somebody looks at that, they don't spend much time in it, and they say, oh, see that? God won't put more on you than you can stand. That's not what it says. That is not what that says. What does it say? Well, if it doesn't say that, why would we say that? First of all, God isn't the putter on her. He doesn't put it on you. It says in James 1, it says, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. No temptation comes from God. Jesus laid that out in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. So the thing is, he took that out of play. The devil is the tempter, not God. So it's God, not God putting this on you. It's not circumstances putting you. It's the devil who tempts you. So what they're saying is this. If they've never been tempted in that area, what they're saying is God wouldn't allow them to be tempted because he knows they'd fall apart like a, you know, like a $2 suitcase or like a puff of, what are those little, we used to blow, you know, those yellow things, dandelions. And then when they the yellow disappears they're not, and you make part, you fall apart just like that. What they're saying is I wouldn't be able to handle that if I was tempted in that area. So don't be boastful. The verse just before this, in 12, it says, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You are, see, a humble man knows that he cannot make it without God. He cannot do anything without the grace of God. The grace of God is the strength of God. It is the might of God. It is the power of God. It is the favor of God. It is so many different things, the grace of God. And if you think you're going to stand without it, pride, I-P-R-I-D-E. Therefore, let him thinks he stand. Let him, there has no temptation come upon you other than it was common to man. We are all in the same boat, but and we all have the same opportunity to stand up and resist. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll what? Flee from you. So now, submission is not easy. God knows that. That's why he sent you the helper. It is not agreement. If you're walking in agreement, you don't have to submit. If you're walking, if there's a disagreement, that's when you have to submit. Now, there's orders to things. We talked about this. The word submit in the Bible is really a military term, which is a ranking order. It's to rank under. And there's all kinds of rankings in angels, in the gifts of the Spirit, ministry gifts. There's all kinds of rankings. So-and-so. Submit to who? You know, so-and-so and so forth. There's all kinds of rankings and everything. And the way up in the kingdom of God is to go low. It just is. Submit yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and in, he will exalt you when? In due time, which is usually long after your flesh is ready for it. You getting anything out of this today? I'll give you a good example of submission not being agreement. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. And we'll start there. In verse 28. Now, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here, and the Pharisees came to him just before that and said, why? And he's in the temple teaching. They interrupted him. And they just come and say, what authority have you to do these things? And Jesus said, well, I'll ask you a question too. And if you answer me, I will answer you. And they said, and he said, yeah, okay. And he said, the baptism of John, was that of God or man? They went over here and huddled. And they said, well, you know, if we say he's of God, he'll say, why didn't you believe him? And if he said it wasn't of God, if we'd say it wasn't of God, then the people, we're afraid of the people and what they'll think. See this? Fear of man? Fear of being wrong? You know what that's all centered around? Pride. Can't be wrong. We have to be, you know, our authority depends on us being right. Pride. And Jesus said, well, I'm not going to tell you either. By what authority I do this? And he already told them, I will tell you if they're honest. So then he says, but what think ye? Certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go to work in my vineyard. And he said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I will not. But afterwards, he what? Repented and went. That is submission. That is a father who found out something about his son, that he can trust that son with more. Why? Because he knows that his son's conscience and his wanting to do right outweighs what his flesh wants. It outweighs what he really wanted to do himself, his selfishness. He put that aside and went. This is how that father knows. So when you submit to God and you give up the things that you really want and put, and you submit to what he, you know his will is, do you know what? There's tremendous rewards in that. There's a promotion involved in this. And he came to the second, likewise he answered and said, I'll go, and then he never went. That's the way of the world. Wide is the gate. That is the way of the world. He says, yeah, I'll do it. Yes, they'll yes you to death and do nothing. You don't want to be known that way. You don't want to be resisted of God. You want everything that God has for you. Not just now, because these things will echo in eternity. These things will, look at the Apostle Paul. And there are a lot of people, look at the Apostle, well, he didn't have much of a life, did he? Are you kidding me? He had the most exciting, heart-fulfilling life known to mankind. He experienced so many of the miraculous powers of God in his life, and it was just a joy to him. And he said, you know what? He says, all the things that I had, that I earned from the world, that's dumb to me. I mean, I'm not going to tell you exactly what that means, but it's horse wacky. You know, you can pick it up off the stable floor. That stuff is gone. And he says, I delight. You see, when he was all ready to lay it down, he laid it down. But look at the life that he submitted here, that he put aside. And he is still, we're still talking about him. We're still quoting him. And all the truths that he laid down, that God said, this is canon. This is me talking through you. These are the thoughts of Jesus that I reserved for you, Paul. You know, he's got so much reserved for you if you just say yes. This is a fulfillment. Paul is still reaping harvests from the things that he did in this earth. I don't know about you, but this world isn't worth clamoring around in, trying to find your way in, when God has already said, I am the way. For me and my house, we're going to serve Buddy. No, we're going to serve the Lord.
And he will submit.
Yes, he will submit. Thank you, Leah. You got to have fun with this. You just really got to lighten up. Life is not that. It can't offer you anything anyway, but God can, and he does, and he has promised. And we heard this, you've heard me say this before, and Laura and I heard it last night on Huckabee. This guy was talking, he wrote a book and about the covenants of God or something like that, and he said when God made that covenant with Abraham, it says a covenant is the most powerful thing that can... God walked, they split that bull in half, and God himself walked through it, just like people would walk through it if they were making a covenant with each other, or the three of them, or the four of them, the covenant. They would all walk through it. And what they're saying is, when they walk through that blood, God do to me to what was done to this bullock if I do not hold up my covenant. If I do not hold up my end. Well, God spoke these promises to us, and he would have to destroy himself if he did not fulfill those promises. Right. When you submit to him, you are submitting to an enormous blessing of rewards. But here's the thing is, you can go ahead and obey God, and you'll receive rewards. But if you submit to God, you will be honored. There is a huge difference. Submission to God is the foundation for everything. This is what Jesus had to do in the garden. That's why it's so close to his heart. And when you start submitting, you will receive the intercessory ministry the mediatory in ministry of Jesus, mediating all of the benefits of the new covenant, he will become so necessary to you that when you speak his name, he'll say, yes, what can I do for you? The fragrance. You know, when Mary Magdalene came into that garden, she thought Jesus was the gardener. Cat Kerr, who went to heaven and talked to Jesus about this, why was that? He said, because I love flowers. Jesus told her this. He says, I love flowers. She said, you ought to see the flowers in heaven, man. This earth has nothing what they got. And he bent down to smell these flowers, and Mary came and said, what have you done with my Lord? And he said, Mary, he loves flowers. Those flowers are the bloom. When these submission, accountability, commitment, consistent stewardship, when they converge together in your life and produce faithfulness, he's smelling the fragrance and filling himself with the fragrance that is active in your life. And he will not deny it. And you're walking with him. Praise God. Did you get anything out of that, I hope, today? Praise God. Submission is not easy. It's not agreement. And the other part of it is it is not forced. If somebody forces you to submit, that's not submission. This is done willingly. 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 If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Praise God. So those three things, you got to know what submission isn't in order to understand what it is. It's just one of those things. It's, we see the inside from the outside, but we got to see the inside first, and what it's not becomes apparent. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that you are faithful. You fellowship in faithfulness with faithful people who produce the fruit that doesn't come from us. This is all of the Spirit. The faith that it takes comes from you. The fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that when we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law against that fruit. And we partake of the full grace of God. Thank you for your wonderful, powerful ministry to us. In Jesus' name.